Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
All right. I peeked just a little bit at this list. Just a little bit. Not a big peek, a little peek. This is what I saw. So Rolling Stone did their top 25 Halloween songs. That sounds like a segment for this show. And I sent it to Rob, but you know how if you like click on the iTunes link to like transfer it to another person, it kind of pops up, right? I saw that 25th on this list was Thriller by Michael Jackson. And I almost decided right then and there, why are we going to do this list? But you know what I said? I'm going to remove my own personal biases because I think that that should be number one on the list. And you know what? Let's hear what Rolling Stones thinks are the top five Halloween songs. Now, Rob, I did not read it. Do you have what the criteria were? What did they say for how songs were grouped here on the list?
Let me see here. Halloween songs are simply... We decided up to round up the top 25 based on how they scored on the top 100 chart achievements. No bones about it. The results might leave people howling mad. Boy, that's a lot of puns. But okay. Yes, it's based on their top 100 scoring when they were on the charts.
And Thriller was 25?
25.
Okay. All right. You know what? That description makes a lot of sense now. All right. Let's go. Number five on the list. I do not know the top five. I've not seen these songs. We're going to learn all of these songs together. This is who Rolling Stone has as the fifth best Halloween song.
The voice in my head saying, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just friends with the
monster, the son of my bed. Classic Halloween anthem. Okay. What makes this a Halloween song? Because the song is called Monster? Why it's a Halloween song?
I truly believe that's what they're calling a Halloween song. It's called Monster.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
If you don't like that, you're...
No, I just... Okay, I'm not... I didn't say anything. I just said...
Your
I'm
silence
confused.
Was deafening.
Monster, by that's a Halloween song? Okay. All right. I get it. That makes sense. All right. I'm wrong.
Number four. This is Frankenstein by the Edgar Allan Group.
I did kind of like that rhythm. I can't lie to you. I did kind of like the tune. It sounded like music that would be playing on the menu of a video game when you're scrolling around trying to decide what mode you were going to play. You know, I don't mind that. That's all right. I don't know much about that song. I never heard that before, but all right, that song was good. It was kind of funky. I appreciated it. That would have been a good ringtone for your phone back in 2005.
Mm-hmm. You'll notice the theme here. It's called Frankenstein, and that's why it has made the list.
No, I got it now. I went into this thinking that we were going to go down a different path, but you know what? That's live radio.
Mm-hmm. Here's number three. Damn, I ain't be going psycho. La mama
bella Michael. Can't really trust okay, nobody with all this jewelry. Should we keep going forward with this? What are we doing? So got diamonds
by the bolo. Come for those who don't know, this is Psycho by Post Malone featuring Ty Dolla Sign. Get Psycho. That's why it scores where it does. Number three overall among Halloween tunes. I mean this seriously. If you're at a Halloween party this weekend and this plays, you would not understand why it's playing.
I'd be confused. I'd look up like, why? What are we doing here? We will never do a segment like this again. I'm sorry. Psycho by Post Malone?
The fact, not only is it on the list, it is 22 spots ahead of Thriller.
Okay. All right. I got it. I just wanted to know. I wanted to know the list. I didn't click on the list. I'm wrong for not vetting it. I didn't know that we had to vet Rolling Stone. I thought, you know, given their track record, Billboard, Rolling Stone, I thought they would be official. They're not official. Nobody thinks about Halloween when you hear that song.
You're telling me you're not at a Halloween party and this comes on and you're like, oh, classic banger.
That's what I'm telling my homegirl to get her coat.
Grab some Reese's. It's Halloween time. All right, here's number two.
What's number two?
Number two, we get back into what we expect.
Thank you.
This is, of course, the Ghostbusters theme song. Okay, this being a Halloween song.
Yeah, of course.
If there's something strange in your neighborhood, who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters. All right, I can live with that.
If there's something weird and it don't look good,
I'm fine with having a Halloween song, but is Ghostbusters a Halloween movie?
No, but so I can at least understand why you would play this song. This isn't a song that really makes sense any other time of the year, but you play this during a Halloween bash tonight. You play a little Ghostbusters. I don't mind that list. That's fine. That at least fits the theme of what I think. I thought we would get some theme songs to a movie or something. I thought we would get a little Nightmare on Elm Street. I thought we were really going to lean into this.
And
we did with two. We did with Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we did with those other three songs. I thought we were going to have more Ghostbusters.
Number one.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard.
I have no problem this being on the list.
This is an incredible song. This is a great song.
Monster mash is one.
The monster.
One.
From my love.
I can live with this being one.
I don't mind. I mean,
this is a great song.
Thriller should be one.
Okay, what I'm saying is, if you had Monster Mash 1, Thriller 2, or you had Thriller 1 and Monster Mash 2, Monster Mash definitely deserves to. That's a great song. It still works.
It worked. It worked.
It was a graveyard smash.
It works better than Psycho or,
yeah, I don't know what we were doing with Monster by Eminem.
Monster by Eminem.
That's crazy. All right, rolling stuff. What was 6 through 10? If you can just
I'm scrolling down
really
right now.
Quickly. I'd love to know before we do it.
All right. Number 10 was Black Cat by Janet Jackson. Number 9 was Dead and Gone by T.I.
Okay, never mind. I don't want to know anymore. Stop it. Stop it.
8 was Cher.
No,
Dark
I don't
want to
hear anymore. I don't want to hear anymore. I don't want to hear. If you're telling me Dead and Gone is a Halloween song, I don't want to. Never mind. I don't. No, thank you. I'm done.
By the way,
I apologize to you.
They have little notes under it. Hot 100 peak at number 2 for Dead and Gone. Peak date would have been February of 2009, classic Halloween time.
Have you even heard the song?
And the
Dead
vibe
and
is world weary and pessimistic, which, yeah, but that doesn't make it a Halloween song.
Okay. All right. You know what? I want to apologize to you guys. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. That's my fault. I didn't vet it nearly enough. If I had known that Dead and Gone they had as a Halloween song, we wouldn't have done this segment. We'd have talked about DeAndre Hopkins. That's what we would have done. That's my fault. I'm wrong. I got to take responsibility as the leader and captain of this show. That's my fault. I'm sorry. I didn't know that Monster by Eminem and Rihanna was a Halloween song. I didn't know that. All right, Rob. I do want to, let's get this thing back on track. Let me give you a Halloween candy that's underrated. Let me save this segment with an incredible take. I'm not even going to really lead up to it, because this candy I know is not going to be popular on the text line. But you know what? I don't care. I'm going with Boston baked beans. I don't want to hear any disrespect to the Boston baked beans. 913-586-7965. Boston baked beans don't get enough credit for its versatility, for its crunchiness, for its nutritional value. Delicious. Nutritious. Scrumptious. Boston baked beans, get my underrated candy.
And that was your attempt to save the segment?
Yeah,
I just want to make sure I heard that.
Yeah, that's a great It's a great candy. That's why I'm saluting it, because it's underrated. It's underappreciated.
Let's break. Let's just... We gotta refresh. We gotta get back to our roots.
Okay,
we're talking about Psycho being a Halloween song, and somehow Boston baked beans are an edible candy.
They're delicious.
The 4 o'clock hour is supposed to be an important hour. I don't know what just happened.
Yeah, an important hour. That's why I'm here to share the gospel. I'm here to share the gospel that Dead and Gone is an underappreciated Halloween song, and we should be eating Boston baked beans. That's what we should be eating. Somebody said that Carrington, this whole segment was Boston baked beans. Yeah, I know. Classic is what it was. That's what it was. All right, we'll get back to football. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
All right, I'm getting cooked right now on the text line, and that's understandable. The last segment, it wasn't one of our best. It really wasn't. That's more my fault than anything, but you know what, Rob? The way that a good teammate would, he's picked me up. He said, I got to save this next segment. What do I do? I was like, you're the producer. You figure it out. We got Jeremy Fowler of ESPN to call in. He's one of the top reporters in the National Football League. We are, 4 days away from the NFL trade deadline? Take this as our apologies for that terrible list that Rolling Stone gave us. We welcome Jeremy Fowler onto the show today. Jeremy, man, happy you called in today, man. We appreciate you.
Hey, anytime, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. Jeremy, let's just start with this. Let's go back at least a week or so. Tell us a little bit more how the deal between the Chiefs and the Titans came together for DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, it's a situation where, you know, I don't think the Titans were overly eager to trade Hopkins originally, but when they went to 1-5 and just the offense couldn't do anything at all, it kind of came to a head. And to be honest, and this is not to discredit DeAndre Hopkins, but I think they were happy just to get decent value for him. I don't think they went into it thinking they were going to get a third round pick, for example. Like, he's just not the player he was, but, you know, certainly a lot of pedigree can still help a team like the Chiefs, where I think with the Chiefs, they liked him in free agency 2 years ago, because Andy Reid's pretty specific about what he wants out of his receivers, and Hopkins knows how to operate in space, but also when a play breaks down and Mahomes does his thing creatively, Hopkins knows where to find those holes, how to get himself open. So it was sort of a match from a personality standpoint. So I think the Chiefs always kept an eye on it. They knew they had to get some help because all the injuries. So they just figured he made the most sense, and it just kind of came together pretty quickly, I think.
Jeremy, now that we've seen all three of these wide receivers get traded, which team do you think got the best deal? Do you think it was Buffalo for Amari Cooper, the Chiefs with DeAndre Hopkins, or the Ravens with Deontay Johnson?
Might be the Ravens, to be honest, just because the first wave of receivers, starting with Devontae Adams, you know, they had to give up a decent amount. You know, you're looking at a third-round pick or it was a sliding scale, I guess. You know, Adams is a different deal because his sort of stature. But, you know, these teams were not giving up pennies. I mean, they had to give up decent value, where Deontay Johnson, was it a fifth-rounder, I think? That I forget offhand, but it was more of a late-round pick in the day three range. To me, that's pretty good for a guy who's only 28, making decent but not great money. And then now he goes to free agency next year. You can get a comp pick for him, which is sort of Baltimore's flavor. They do that a lot. They'll pick up a guy, let him leave, and then take the comp pick for him. So it's a smart move for them. I think it's probably the best value overall they got, just because he's more in his prime than the other receivers. I'm not saying he's as good as Amari Cooper or some of these guys, but you know, he's certainly capable, and he can win one-on-one, and he's only 28.
Jeremy, are you hearing any more rumors about the Chiefs, or are they in on any more wide receivers? I know Darius Slayton was a receiver we talked a lot about a couple of weeks ago. That talk has kind of died down here, at least locally, after the Chiefs make the move to go get DeAndre Hopkins. But you would think that the Giants are out of it. Maybe he's going to be a guy that gets moved. Are you hearing the Chiefs linked to any more wide receivers?
Not as much receiver, no. I think they're pretty well set. And, you know, they're pretty confident that guys like Juju Smith-Schuster can help get the job done. So, you know, you got Kelsey, and you got Xavier Worthy, and then you got sort of everybody around that filling in the gaps. I think they feel like they have enough. You know, you never know. I'm sure Brett Veach is, you know, he's an aggressive GM. He'll probably field some calls. I'm sure people will shop receivers to him. You know, Darius Slayton's the name that's been out there. There are a few others, but I think more cornerback for them. I think that's where they'll look, just to get somebody else in there after Jalen Watson went out for the year. So, you know, they'll want to supplement.
Jeremy, if you had to kind of put, a price tag on Darius Slayton, what do you think it would cost to get him? Is it going to be in this same vein that it was for Deontay Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins? Is it going to be a late-round pick?
I'd probably put them in the same weight class in that regard. Maybe Johnson a little higher, but I think it would probably take a fifth-round pick to get Slayton at this stage because he's had some 100-yard games for them. He's not playing with elite quarterback play, but he's still producing. You know, I think if he was in a better quarterback system and offense, that he would be putting up pretty big numbers. So he, to me, is in that sort of Darnell Mooney class, I guess. And, you know, he signed with Atlanta for $13 million a year, wasn't putting up big numbers in Chicago. Now he's taken off. So, you know, maybe if – I don't know. Teams will probably try to get him for a six-rounder, and I just don't think New York would do that. It would take a little bit more.
Jeremy, you've heard a lot. You are very, very plugged into certain teams. Have you got a sense from the Chiefs that they're confident that Hollywood Brown is going to come back? We've kind of talked to people, and it sounds like there's a chance that he could come back in the second half of the season, maybe closer to that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers around Christmas. You talk to a lot of people in the league. Are you getting the sense that Kansas City is confident that Hollywood Brown is going to come back?
You know, confident, I can't say that at this stage. I also haven't asked recently on him in particular. I just got the sense that Isaiah Pacheco had a better chance to come back than Hollywood Brown. But they'll see how it goes. I think they're leaving the light on for him, you know, if he can recover in time. But I don't get the sense they're counting on him right now, if that makes sense. It'd be bonus money, you know, if he can come back at some point.
Jeremy, I am curious about Cam Robinson. He recently got traded to the Minnesota Vikings. The Chiefs have their own left tackle issues. I wonder if the Chiefs were ever in on that. When I look at the money that's attached to Cam Robinson, that it doesn't seem like a Chiefs kind of move, but they are a team that could upgrade at left tackle. Was there any motion towards the Chiefs going to pick up Cam Robinson?
Yeah, that, you mentioned the money not being their style. That was my first thought. You know, he's got a $16 million salary. I just wouldn't see that kind of move for KC based on the allocations they made for Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey. They got Trey Smith that I think they'll try to pay, but he's going to outprice himself. You know, he's probably going to reset the guard market maybe in free agency. And then Juwan Taylor, you're paying him. So that's four guys you're paying. It would be tough. You know, I think they just know that at that particular position, they just got to sort of take their lumps a little bit and hope for the best with what they have.
If you had to look into your crystal ball, maybe just not Chiefs related, but just around the league, who is a name that you think is going to get traded between now and the deadline?
I'll go with Zadarius Smith. You know, just with Cleveland, I think they're looking for like a fourth round pick if they could get it. I don't know that anybody's going to give that up, but maybe they can find a sweet spot on a fifth rounder with maybe some conditions to it. So just because there are enough teams that need a pass rusher right now, like I could see it. And, you know, Mike Williams, I'm here with the New York Jets tonight watching the game. And, you know, especially if they lose tonight, fall to 2-7, I think Williams will be moved at that point.
I mean, I'm actually surprised that Mike Williams is still on the team after that Thursday. I think maybe it was Monday Night Football game where he dropped that pass in the middle of the field or was intercepted. I thought at that moment, then they go get Davante Adams the next day. I thought Mike Williams was getting traded 2 weeks ago. I'm shocked that he's still on the roster.
I'm with you because I thought something would come together. I think talks were slow with teams. They just didn't develop. He's got some money attached there. The new team would inherit, I think, almost $3.5 million. So they would have to probably absorb some of the money, and maybe the Jets don't want to do that right now. So, and Alan Lazard just went out. He's on injured reserve for 4 weeks, so that could be a factor too.
Jeremy, you wrote a very good piece a couple of days ago on ESPN.com about the Chiefs and their similarities between the Patriots. What's the biggest thing you've learned about the Chiefs over writing that piece?
That's a good question. I would say there's a lot I learned. One, I would say the sort of growth in stature with Brett Veach. I know Andy Reid, I think at least technically, or maybe in his contract, sort of has final say of the roster. That was really the belief when he took over back in 2012. But I do think it's really Brett Veach's show as far as the personnel side, in part because Andy's 66, and they don't want him having to break down college tape all year. But Veach has grown. Andy's very comfortable with him making a lot of the shots called, I would say. So that's interesting. And then, some of the financial constraints that the Chiefs have. You know, they're like a lot of family-run businesses. They're maybe a little bit tighter than some others. And so that could be a strain on the ability to do contracts, to pay coaches at a high level and have the right facilities. Hey, I got to run, guys. I got to take this.
No problem. That is Jeremy Fowler of ESPN joining us on the show today. Maybe Jeremy's about to break some news here, Rob. Appreciate Jeremy Fowler. He just got to go in the middle of the interview. Remember the last time that happened, it was Ian Rappaport. Nick Bosa got a brand new contract at the end of it. So maybe that is what happens here in the next 5 to 10 minutes. We got to keep our eyes open for Jeremy Fowler. That is very interesting for what he said about the Chiefs. We don't think about it in that way, even though I think we all know it about the Chiefs. That's kind of a thing around professional sports. Like, that's a criticism of the Los Angeles Lakers. That's a criticism of the New York Yankees. You know, your pops owned the team. He handed it down to you. It's a family business. It's run a little bit differently than some of the other teams. That is certainly a complaint that we've heard, that sometimes the money faucet doesn't flow with the Chiefs in certain areas. But that is just something that you are going to have a really tough time convincing the average fan to care about, as long as the on-the-field product continues to be as good as it's been for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I find it interesting what Jeremy said. And listen, I know that Brett Veach is the general manager. Like, that is his title. That is his job. I get it. But it is interesting that he just wrote a very good piece on ESPN.com. It's free, unlocked, no paywall. I would encourage everyone to go read it. That Brett Veach is kind of coming into his own as a GM. Because let's be honest, Carrington, when he got hired back in 2017, remember they fired John Dorsey after the draft. It was weird. They didn't talk. It was like a June press conference. Hey, here's the new GM. It's Brett Veach, a guy no one had heard of. Like, we had heard Chris Ballard's name. We had never heard at all about Brett Veach. The thought process among Chiefs fans and a lot of people around the Chiefs was, Andy hired a yes man. Andy and Dorsey must have gotten sideways, whether it be about Macklin, whether it be about the draft. Andy and Dorsey had a friction moment, and Andy hired his boy. And then you look up Brett Veach's resume, and you'd have been like, oh yeah, he hired his guy. He came over, he was in the player personnel department with the Eagles, he then followed into the Chiefs. It felt like Andy got a yes sir, this is what we're going to do. But you are the GM, but in reality, Andy's in power. It is interesting, someone who writes a very good piece about the Chiefs is saying one of the things he learned is Brett Veach is coming into his own as a general manager, and maybe that thought that we had 3-4 years ago, and sometimes we still have, that, hey, it's Andy Reid's show, and Brett Veach kind of just nods his head, yes, sir, is not quite how it's going over at One Arrowhead Drive, which gives me a lot of confidence as a Chiefs fan that Andy Reid's 66, not doing this forever. And when Andy Reid walks away, if you got a GM and a good power structure, you are very likely to land the next guy as opposed to trying to find Andy Reid's protege.
Yeah, I think at least in this conversation, I think there's some things that are just kind of hard to avoid. Brett Veach used to be an intern for Andy Reid. So even though that person then becomes technically your boss, he becomes the general manager of the team, he is higher up the food chain than you, it's kind of hard to have a traditional power dynamic if, A, I worked here before you got here, you used to work under me, and I am the reason that you got this job. So what I'm just going to guess, just based off what I think is common sense and the way that I think we've seen it play itself out, is eventually Brett Veach had to prove himself not just to Chiefs fans, he also had to prove himself towards Andy Reid. And as we have gotten further and further away from him hiring you, and you have shown your own value, your own worth, your own scouting department, your own chops, you have now been given more and more responsibility as Andy now takes less and less responsibility. I 100% believe what you just said happened. I think that it is very clear. Andy and John Dorsey did not agree on something. And eventually, if you are the owner of the team, you got to pick which one you want. And you made your decision. It was also pretty symbolic. If you remember, they announced one person got fired and the other person got an extension that day. The owner made his decision. I am going to side with my head coach. I'm going to let my general manager go. And I believe in that moment, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs went to Andy Reid and said, who do you want? And I believe he then said, this is who I want you to hire. They then hired that person, and their relationship has grown and changed over the years. Brett Veach has certainly earned his own stripes now. You get the traditional general manager where Andy will trust you to make the player personnel decisions. I'm sure that they communicate and they go by, I think this is a good fit, this is not a good fit. But I do believe that Andy agreed to do this to have final say. And over the course of the last couple of years, you have less and less final say, and it is more collaborative because you have more confidence and you just have a better working environment with who the person currently is at general manager.
Also, to continue to compliment Brett Veach, I do think it's noteworthy. At that time, everyone around the Chiefs was raving about the name Chris Ballard. You could not cover the Kansas City Chiefs around that time when I heard the name Chris Ballard. Oh, Chris Ballard's doing this. Chris Ballard's doing that. Chris Ballard. He leaves to go be the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts. I believe it's that same offseason Brett Veach gets the job of the Chiefs. Brett Veach has been better than Chris Ballard. Now, he has a built-in advantage. Patrick Mahomes was on the roster when he was the general manager, but Chris Ballard has been outshined by Brett Veach, and that's probably partly why Reid handpicked him, but I feel like if Reid wanted to bring Ballard back, Ballard would have been back. So Brett Veach not only took the job, he took the job and ran, and the people that were around the Chiefs, the people thought, oh, that's the guy, he has been better than that person. Brett Veach has been light years better than Chris Ballard has been in Indianapolis.
Text line, excuse me, text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, what if Rob became your boss? I mean, that kind of happened. Like, Spectre became my boss. When Spectre first moved to Kansas City, he used to come over to my apartment and we would play NBA 2K. Like, Spectre and I were very good friends. And then he became your boss, and just your relationship, it just inevitably changes. Like, how you guys communicate. I'm not really interested in hanging out with Spectre the way that I was before. Sometimes you got to push back on authority. Sometimes, like, I don't always want to be in Spectre's good graces. If you're always in your boss's good graces doing this job, you're just not doing it correctly. You know what I mean? Like, you're just not doing things right. So it's no disrespect towards Rob, but that scenario did happen eventually. It happened with Steven Spectre. He used to be the producer of this show. He was a producer before BK got here, before Rob got here. So no, that situation, it has definitely happened to me over my time of working here. All right, Rob, I've given you guys some great candy so far. I really have. I've given you guys some incredible candies.
Are we going to count Boston Baked Beans in that category?
Yeah, okay. That's a great candy. What are you talking about? That's a great candy.
It is, in fact, a candy. I don't know about the word great being in there.
I'm going to give you another underrated candy. Today, we are paying respects to the candies that go underrated. The candies that go underappreciated. Not the Twix, not the Snickers, not the peanut M&Ms. They get their credit. I'm here to give you the reserves. Hit me, Rob. Now, people will usually not get the store brand, so to speak. But I am here telling you that there is one candy that, even though it is the, quote, generic version, it is better than the original. It is better than the OG. You can't say that about a lot of things. But you can in this instance. Red Vines. Red Vines are the superior licorice candy. You did a blind taste test and I handed you a Red Vine and I handed you a Twizzler, you're taking the Red Vines 7 days a week. They're the better candy. That little tub that they come in, you know the tub that I'm talking about. Looks like a candy dish. You take the top off of it. It's phenomenal. The superior licorice is not Twizzlers, it's Red Vines, and they will get appreciation on this Halloween Thursday.
Have you ever taken a Red Vine, like bit both ends and used it as a straw?
No, I've never done that before.
Really?
No.
Oh, it is. Now, it is a sugar rush and something I don't suggest as an adult, unless you are a dentist that's trying to make some money on the back half. But take your Red Vine, nibble both sides, so you got yourself a little straw, dump it into a Dr. Pepper, Oh, it's an incredible experience. It's like a cherry Dr. Pepper. Can't recommend highly enough.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, Smarties are underrated. I want you guys to hear me, and I want you to hear me good. Please do not serve Smarties to my little one. Please don't. I'm serious. Please don't. Smarties are terrible. In fact, they could quite possibly be the worst candy out there. I'm serious. Smarties are bad. They're real bad. Now, whatever candy you're thinking about, if it's not butterscotch, it's better than Smarties. They're terrible. So no, they're not underrated. They might be on the bottle caps level. Smarties might be mini bottle caps.
Don't do that.
They might be mini bottle caps. I'm serious, man.
Bottle caps have flavor. Smarties are just chalk. By the way, Smarties are in that category of bank candy, inedible. Dum Dum Pops, what's the point? Just no thanks. Smarties, that weird candy that your grandma would always have. You see the bank that comes like a strawberry wrapper. I don't know what it is. And there's always a loose lozenge. All bad.
Text line is saying, where do you get red vines from? Do you get that from Aldi? First off, let's not be disrespectful here. They sell red vines at Target. They sell it at Walmart. Red vines, they have moved up the list. Sure, they maybe used to be in the back, but now they have become a starter. If you don't believe me, go to Target tonight and go buy you a pack of the red vines. And then go buy you a pack of the Twizzlers and do a blind taste test. Do it around the house. And ask people, what do they think is better? Do they think it's the red vines or do they think it's Twizzlers? Because I'm telling you that you have been eating the wrong licorice your entire life. Red vines are better. I will take that to my grave. Red vines are better. And text line, please stop suggesting Smarties to me. I don't want to have to block anybody. But trying to rep Smarties on this show is a near blockable offense, Rob. It's a blockable offense.
What's crazy to me is I didn't know how many elderly people listen to the show because that's the only type of person that likes Smarties. If you already lost your flavor ability and you are struggling to chew, Smarties, they're for you. Flavorless chalk dust.
Somebody said, what about those Necco wafers or Nico? I don't know how you pronounce it. Those are...
Again, I had no idea the elderly listen to the show like that.
Those are bad too. Those are bad. I don't like you throwing shots at the elderly on Halloween because you know what grandma always had? Grandma kept a stock candy dish when you went over there. I don't know what Grandma Britton used to do.
Oh, come on. But when you were good candy.
When you would walk in there. Now, I don't know what your grandma had, but my grandma still had the plastic on the couch, had all the plastic on all the furniture. But right there next to the front, she always had some little figurine, and she always had a candy dish, and it stayed stock. Now, it would be hit or miss. It might be Jolly Ranchers in Grandma's candy dish. It might be Weathers Original in there. It might be those little strawberry candies that no one knows the name of, but everybody has had some strawberry candies. It might be some peppermint in there. That was the fun of Grandma's candy dish because you never knew what was going to be in there, but we're not gonna disrespect the candy dish on this day either.
The candy dish had more misses than hits. It definitely got hits, don't get me wrong. It made a few buckets, but it was 3 of 27 from the floor. Why are we still shooting? It had like a Tootsie Roll, that weird strawberry candy you mentioned. There was a cough drop in there. I don't know why there's a cough drop in there. That is not candy, but it had hits, but far more misses.
Someone on the text line says, you guys probably like those old school wrapped orange candies. See, this is why I hate doing these topics, because the text line always gets disrespectful. Now you're telling me that I like those orange and those black wrap candies? That's what you're telling me? That's the kind of level we get to? I like that? I like circus peanuts now? That's what I mean. You guys always take it too far. Every single time, you take it too far. I will give you more underrated candies. I've given you some heaters so far. I've given you Whoppers. I've given you Boston baked beans. I've given you Raisinets, Sweetest Fish. I've got more underrated candies. Coming up, we have had an argument all day here at the office. We will bring the argument to you guys next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. Let me play something Spectre said for you guys earlier today. And we'll get back to serious football things here coming up at the top of the hour. We have been having this debate in the office. What's the worst night? Is it New Year's Eve? Is it Halloween night? And I threw in St. Patrick's Day as just not fun nights to be out. So we asked Spec this question. Here's what Spec said.
All right. When you're picking between Halloween, St. Patrick's Day, and New Year's Eve, here's the order. St. Patrick's Day 1, Halloween 2, New Year's Eve, DFL, third place. New Year's Eve is a young man's game. If you're in your 20s, it's great. If you're single or in a semi-serious relationship, it's still great. But if you're an adult, New Year's Eve is the absolute worst. You have to get dressed up. You can't drink what you want to drink. You have to stay up late. The prices are, you know, you're gouged through the roof. At least on St. Patrick's Day, you can drink a beer during the day and not feel bad about it. Halloween, at least you get free candy, or maybe you can see your kids enjoy it. There is nothing redeeming as an adult about New Year's Eve. All four of those things absolutely stink when it comes to New Year's Eve for me. The price gouging, the clothes, the alcohol, and the staying up late. No, thank you. It's not even a debate. New Year's Eve is the absolute worst.
All right, Rob, I'll ask you the question. Text line 913-586-7965. Out of those three nights, what's the worst? New Year's Eve, tonight, Halloween night, or St. Patrick's Day?
Boss man's right. New Year's Eve stinks. New Year's Eve, he's 1,000% correct here. New Year's Eve is fun when you are 22. New Year's Eve is great when you're 25 and you're like, hey, I'm going out, I'm single, why not? Or you're like dating but not serious. It's a great night to go out. Man, I'm 33 and married. I'm going to dress up to go to a nice dinner and get hit with double pricing or a coursed menu for a restaurant I can go to any other night of the year without a problem. I didn't have to stay up late. I had to drink champagne. I don't like champagne. It inevitably, at some party you're at for New Year's Eve, there is some person who just can't drink and they can't handle their liquor and they get sloppy. It's amateur hour. New Year's Eve, you know, all I want to do is go to bed so I can wake up the next day and watch the bowl games. It is the worst. Halloween is second. It's better, but it has a lot of those elements. When I was single, Halloween was great. It was an excuse to go to the bar, and name a costume became sexy costume at the bar because that's what the girls wear. That's great. It's not great when you're married. Like, you're at a Halloween party with friends. Candy's great, but it doesn't, not the best. It's terrible for you. The best is St. Patrick's Day. It's warm outside. It's inside outside. It's in March. It's green beer, and you're watching college basketball because of the time of the year. That's a fine holiday. Still not as great as people think, but New Year's Eve stinks. Halloween's second, and St. Patrick's Day is the best of those group.
Okay. Let me try to correct you where I think you're wrong. People are happy on New Year's. There's something cool about New Year's. It's the turning over. It's the feeling of new. You know what? I'm going to be better. I would say that at this point, you kind of know where to go on New Year's Eve and where not to go. If you just want to go out, get dressed, have a nice meal with your lady, be around people who are of the same mind as you are, there are places for you to go. If you want to do something at the house, maybe you don't want to do the hustle and bustle of New Year's Eve, but you want to have your friends over to have a game night. Everybody is in a good mood. It's still the holidays. New Year's Eve at this point is what you make it. Halloween is great, even if you have kids or don't have kids. Some of you don't have kids, but you live in a house. It's fun to have the kids come by, trick or treat. They're dressed up like Spider-Man. You give them some candy. You have a couple of laughs. You go inside. You watch Scream. You go to bed at 9, 10 o'clock. Halloween can be fun, even if you don't already have a kid. There's nothing redeemable about St. Patrick's Day. There's nothing. You don't like green beer. You don't want to eat corned beef hash. You don't like any of that. The person that takes St. Patrick's Day seriously is normally weird. The person is not doing, they're not Irish. You know what I'm talking about. The guy that just, you're way too excited about this day. The person that's excited about New Year, man, I got resolutions, I'm about to join the gym. We all know the person that goes hard for New Year's Eve. But usually that person has good intentions. The person that goes all out for Halloween, they put a couple of, you know, they got a skeleton up outside, they got a pumpkin. They're all right. The guy that's really excited about drinking green beer and getting up to watch Wisconsin play Notre Dame in college basketball, usually obnoxious. I'm sorry. St. Patrick's Day is the worst day on the American calendar. It's the worst.
I am drop dead stunned that someone so adverse to the cold picked the 2 days that are colder over the day that there is a chance of warmth. You know what happens in March? The sun is shining. Green beer, by the way, tastes like regular beer. It just food coloring. There's literally no flavor difference at all.
Then someone on the text line's right. Then people are coming around and they're trying to pinch you for not wearing green. Like, bro, what are we doing here? I'm about to go down to HR. Why are you touching me?
You think putting on those goofy New Year's Eve hats is some sort of win?
Yeah, that's fun.
No. New Year's Eve is off. How many nights?
Everybody's singing, and then the ball drops. You get to kiss your lady. They start playing a Lady Gaga song, and you guys start dancing together. Yeah, there's a big difference in a Halloween party, a New Year's Eve party, and a St. Patrick's Day party. I don't want to go out on St. Patrick's Day. I don't. I don't want to go out here. I don't want you.
But you want to go out on New Year's Eve? You want to get hit for double prices.
I don't mind going out for New Year's Eve.
I love a Boulevard Wheat. $16.50. What? Where am I?
I don't mind going out for New Year's Eve. I don't mind going out with my friends. Hey, we're going to celebrate the New Year's together. You go out with your. I don't mind going out during those days. You're not catching me going out on St. Patrick's Day. Nah, man. Bro, you are 37 years old with a family. Why are you out here dressed like the guy from the Lucky Charms box? Go home. It's Wednesday. Why are you acting like this?
Again, I'm stunned. The guy who, when I asked him, hey, you going to the current playoff game? Hey, might be cold. Can't go. Is telling me.
You did ask me about going to the current. I was like, oh, it's November. You know I ain't going out there.
The guy who's scared of November because it might be a little crisp in the air is telling me December 31st is the day he wants to be out and about, but not March 17th.
Yeah,
make it make sense.
Yeah, because it's not that bad. You think I'm waiting in line at this point in my life? No, if I'm going somewhere for New Year's Eve, I'm in and I'm out. I'm in and I'm out. I'm not standing out of line. I paid for this ticket and I got dressed. You think I'm waiting outside? No, sir. I'm walking straight from the car right to the entrance and I'm walking out. No. Yeah, I like New Year's Eve. I'm a New Year's Eve kind of guy. You got to find the right spot, though. You got to do your research. You trying to go to Westport on New Year's Eve and like, oh, it's all these. Yeah, because you can't go to them. You got to go to a place with other adults that are like you. Hey, we want to have a good time and we want to be home by 12:30. That's the kind of people you need to be hanging around for New Year's Eve. All right, coming up on the other side, we will talk about the Chiefs and their left tackle situation. I have some numbers that I think will give you a little bit of positivity. I have some numbers about the first half of the season last year for the Chiefs compared to the first half of the year. And I also have something that if I was a politician, I would run on, and I think I would win. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.